I want to read tonight out of 2 Peter, Timothy, 2 Timothy. We'll go to Peter in just a little bit. But 2 Timothy chapter number 1, and I want to talk about this, a ministry that pleases God. And you know a little bit about Paul and his writing, and Paul wrote, he had two what we might call proteges or young preachers that he writes to or he speaks of. One of them is Timothy and the other is Titus. It's almost like he's giving them instruction. And as he is giving them instruction, he is also giving instruction to us. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he begins to give some specifics of what a good ministry that pleases the Lord would include in it. And I want to talk about those things, but I want to read the scripture first. And here it begins, Paul says, it's Paul, who is an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy. He says, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, and being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy mother Lois, and thy grandmother Eunice, I am persuaded that is in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And that good thing which is committed unto thee keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Now, let's go down to the second chapter and just look at a couple of verses. He says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. If a man also strive for masteries or victories, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully, or basically abides by the rules. Now, what I want us to see, particularly in this second chapter, and I want to see some things that are called out here that are things that I believe would be a church that God would be pleased with. And the first one, if you look at the second chapter, he says, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. And the first point here that I want to look at is being strong in grace. Well, what is grace? If you stop and think about it, what is grace? What has God given us? What has God shown us? Grace is mercy. Grace is forgiveness. And I've heard it said, if you take it in an acrostic, you could say it like this: God's riches at Christ's expense. So if we're going to be a church that pleases the Lord, I believe that we have to be strong in grace. If you go back to that verse in 1 Timothy in chapter number 9, it's what Paul's saying about his calling, and he's talking about Timothy's calling as well. He says, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Jesus Christ. Then he says, before the world began. Now, folks, there's a lot of verses that you go back in the beginning. What does it say? God said, let us make man in his own image. Third chapter, the first appearing of Christ. The reference there when it talks about the seed of the woman. And we know the story there. That's pointing to Christ. God had a plan. Galatians 4:4 says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Not by works, but by grace. So the first thing is a church that's strong in grace. Now, sometimes, and this is even something that Jesus Christ experienced when he walked upon the earth, he came to bring salvation. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. But how was he received? By the religious crowd of his day. See, grace is really the opposite of legalism. And I want you to think about something. What is legalism? We talked about this a little bit last Wednesday night. We were out here and we were talking about being fully persuaded in your own mind. We talked about an absolute. So what's an absolute? I'm trying to let y'all talk. What's an absolute? Same for everybody? Yep. I mean, thou shalt not kill. That's kind of an absolute. Okay? Then we talked about preferences a little bit. And I know we have to be careful that we don't just take down the wall and just let anything happen. And we talked about convictions, the things that we might be convicted of and growing in our relationship with God and allowing God to work in us. But have you ever seen anybody come into the house of the Lord that's looking for grace? And when they come in, they need God. They got trouble, they got hurt, they got problems. What does legalism do to someone looking for grace? It destroys them. And I gave the example, and I've seen it before, how people sometimes would be addressed by something that really, when you get right down to it, is it worth hurting or destroying somebody over? I can remember one time when I was just, I had to be probably still a teenager. But I was at a church. It wasn't a big church. Had a choir that was really growing at one time. Pastor who was very domineering and very opinionated about some things. And he had a pet peeve that you couldn't chew gum in church. Kendra, he'd get you right now. I mean, I don't know what that's about. But I can tell you all, that's not an absolute. There ain't no verse of scripture for that. Now, to me, I don't even think that's a conviction. That's what I call a preference. And we had a girl, and this is a lot of times what happens, folks, and this is why we got to make sure we're listening to God, not ourselves. I can remember where that girl was sitting in the church. I remember when I was standing, he walked by her, and he very emphatically pointed at her face before church, and he said, what have you got in your mouth? She was a teenage girl, and she said, I'm not chewing gum. He said, well, you're chewing something. She had a piece of a balloon in her mouth. You know how kids are. Don't our kids sometimes do something? I won't tell you, my kids do things, and I just, but I really begin to try to remember they're just kids. And folks, the teens are just teens. And y'all are just people. But when he spoke to that girl, I saw her countenance change because he was so rough and so hard. And it was like he was, you know, it was almost like this. In his mind, before the people, he represented God. And unfortunately, isn't that where a pastor or a leader is at? That's why it's so important that we be careful. That little girl never came back to our church. She was from a broken home. Somebody had invited her, and she had been there 3 or 4 times, and we never saw her again. And I saw that man do 2 or 3 things like that, and I can still remember those things. You know, sometimes Kendra and I talk about, you know, what God has done in our lives and our relationships together. And it's not a good thing when you say the things that we learned sometimes are the things we learned that hurt the most, the things we learned not to do. You know, a church that is strong in grace, and I believe this is what our job ought to be, help everybody we can get to where Jesus is at. And if you expect them to come in here looking like you or acting like you, you're probably not going to be able to help them. And I've got this little write-it-down statement. I use it a lot, and I dug this, you know, out of something. This is a lesson that I taught on almost 10 years ago. And I got this same little note written down. It says, be cautious of men with strong convictions but little compassion. If you go through the times when Paul is writing this to Timothy, they were in a day where there were those who walked around who demonstrated strong convictions. Then the scripture say in one place they would widen the bands of their phylacteries, make broad the borders of their garments, stand on the corners and fast so that men would see them. And when you looked at a Pharisee in his array, he had leather bands on his wrist, leather bands on his forehead, and it had written in it inscriptions. The borders of the garments had bells. And when they would fast, they would make it known to men, almost appearing to be seen as religious. But Jesus said of them, he said within, he said they're like whited sepulchres on the outside. In other words, they're like whitewashed tombstones that appear beautiful to men. But on the inside, they are full of dead men's bones. And for a church to please the Lord, number one, I believe it's got to be strong in grace. Paul tells Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. Then number two, here's what he says. Look at the second verse. He says, in the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. This is the second thing that I think a church that pleases God's got to have, is faithfulness in leadership. How many times have you heard the story? I've heard the story. We've seen it. God would be doing something. And this is something that I believe, and this is just something to consider. God does not do what he does because of us. He does it in spite of us. Now, if you've never been in a church that had a bad pastor, a bad leader, and see God doing something, I have. And sometimes God does what he does because he's God. If we ever begin to think God's doing what he's doing because of us, we're done. Okay? I was talking to somebody this morning about my personality a little bit. I said, look, I'm an introvert. I am. I know that's hard for y'all to believe the way I get up and preach and teach. I can be sitting there just miserable. My wife, she's looking at me. Yeah. My mother said I was an old man, Brother Billy, when I was born. She said, I'll be sitting there and I'm just in a grump, and all of a sudden a thought will get on my heart and I feel the Holy Spirit hit me. I go, oh, God, I feel good. I get excited. But we can be somewhere, and we were today at lunch. I'll tell you a quick story. And I met somebody, I spoke to him a minute, and I said, honey, you know I met so-and-so over there. I said, you know I'm not good at talking to people. Why don't you go minister to them? Yeah. I kept on until she did it. She's gone 10 minutes. But have you seen bad leadership?
Oh, yeah.
See God moving, people coming. And leadership get off track. Why? I say this a lot, but folks, I'm going to tell y'all, I mean this with everything that's in me. It's not about me. It's about him. It's not about you. It's about Him. It's not about us. It's about Him. He said, commit these things to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now I want to flip over to 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and read just a couple of verses here, also in Timothy's, in Paul's writing to Timothy. In verse 12, and this is Paul thanking the Lord, he said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, for he hath counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before, it's what we used to be, folks, before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious or insulting. He said, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Just like that one I mentioned this morning. Don't think that God can't touch them. Don't think that God cannot change the meanest man in the neighborhood. He can. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now, if the Lord can save Paul, a persecutor of the church, there's nobody out there he can't deal with, okay? But one thing I also want you to see in this, the more that Paul was able to see the Lord, the more he exalted the Lord and humbled himself. He knew it wasn't about him. He said, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Christ, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And then he says this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Now, he's talking about faithfulness here. But you know, what we need to look for in leadership is we need to look for men that have been changed by God. I was at a little church not long ago. I'll say it's not that long ago, maybe 3.5-4 years ago. It was before I came here. They had invited a man to come and speak, preach on a Wednesday night. And I wanted to go support that man. Here's why I wanted to go support him, because I knew where he had been. He had spent time in prison. He had been in trouble. He had had all kind of things on his record. I mean, he's a multi-convicted felon. But he got saved. And he was preaching the gospel. And he went to this little church up in Pauling County. And when he got up there, they took a stand and they brought it down and they told him, we're not going to allow you to stand in our pulpit. And as I listened to it, I thought, I wonder if they would have allowed Paul to stand in the pulpit. You see, the first thing that we should look for in faithfulness is you got to be saved. I mean, I know a pastor of a church in this county who openly proclaimed the reason he is a pastor is because he looked at career choices and they thought he could make certain amount of money. That's what he said. Now, you know, God's doing something in that church, but I want to tell you something. It ain't because of him. Remember what I said? God does things in spite of us, not because of us. I grew up around preachers, a lot of them, and the man that married me and my wife, and this might seem odd to some folks, he was technically illiterate, but he was born again. And you'd come up to him and say, I'm going to read you a verse. And you'd read him a verse, and he'd preach all over the house. I know another preacher right now that's a pastor, and his eyesight is so bad that when he goes and preaches revivals, he's got a class, a Bible class in his church where he trains young preachers. A lot of preachers come out of this church, too. This man's on fire for God, and these boys come out of there on fire. And he'll bring them with him, and he'll point to them, and they'll stand up and read the scripture, and he'll preach. Faithfulness is something that God looks for in a church. You know, the Bible says in one place, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. When I was a child, I spake as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. You look at the requirements of a bishop or of a deacon, it says one thing, not a novice, lest he be lifted up with pride. I heard Brother Garland Odom, which was the elderly gentleman we had come preach here a little while back, say this, and I'd never thought about it like this before, but the man has a lot of wisdom. He said, I believe it takes 20 years for God to fashion a man. And what he was talking about is how God has to work on you and mold you and make you. As I listened to him and I thought about it, kind of like the little song we sing, He's Still Working on Me. But I want to tell you something, folks. There comes a time where we got to quit being in and out, hot and cold. And we just got to get behind the Lord and do the Lord's work. And I believe that's what he's looking for. It's convicted, it's committed, and it's consistent. Let's look at the next thing that he says here. The third verse. If we're first strong in grace, second is faithful in leadership, the third is you must have endurance. He said, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Okay? Now here's something to understand in, about being in the Lord's work. It's not always going to be easy. You know, you're going to have to decide where you're going to stand. And sometimes you just got to stand. You know, it's like, you know, I've had people ask me since I come to this church, and I just look at them and smile. Now, they quit asking me this. I've been here long enough now. They say, is the honeymoon over? And I say, huh? Some of y'all kind of know what I'm talking about. In other words, it's kind of like this. When they ask you to come, they liked you. Have you made them mad yet? Have you said anything they didn't like? Have they had a meeting and talked to you? Truth is, not everybody's going to like everything you have to say. Truth is, none of us are going to always agree on everything, okay? And sometimes when you're doing the Lord's work, you can be trying to be faithful, trying to serve God, you're going to have trouble come up. And when you have trouble come up, you got to pray and seek God and find out where God's will is and just stand there. And when you're just standing there, you just got to give it to Him. You can't carry it yourself. Sometimes what we have to do is we have to turn people over to the Lord and let God deal with people. Remember in the 18th verse in the first chapter of 1 Timothy, he said, I charge thee, this charge I committed to thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which I went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. You read in Paul's writing, I believe it's 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, he says this. He said, if after the manner of men I have fought with beast at Ephesus, what doth it profit us if the dead rise not? In other words, if there's no resurrection of the dead, this battle that I have fought, and he fought it, I wouldn't have went through it. Now, sometimes when you're talking about Christianity, we don't want to get into that. You know what we really want to preach? Being a Christian is so great. It's so easy. It's so grand. Everybody at church loves each other. Sometimes it's not that way. Sometimes these over here don't talk to these over here. How many of you have seen the movie, what's the name of it, Kendra, we watched last night? Miracles from Heaven. How many of you have seen that? Anybody? This is kind of like the War Room, okay? I'll give you a preacher recommendation of the War Room. Well, I think Miracles from Heaven maybe is good or better, okay? A couple of scenes in the movie, and sometimes here's just the way that it is. We go through things in our life. We suffer. The storms come. We'd like to be able to have a film rolling on us, and we just stand faithful. We just serve God. We never get upset. We never blame our spouse. We never raise our voice at each other. We just know that everything's going to work out, and it will. That's not always the case, is it? Sometimes we blame each other. Sometimes we say, God, I don't know where you're at. God, who are you? Can you hear me? because I can't hear you. Sometimes that's the way it is. And that was a scene in that movie, and there was a family that had a little girl who was sick, and I've literally seen this done in church. Now, folks, this is an example of the opposite of being strong in grace. But they had asked a prayer request for their daughter, and the husband went on, and two ladies met the mother right down front. And they begin to say, y'all must have done something. Must be something in your life. When y'all really begin to get right with God and serve the Lord the way you should, He'll heal. And when I saw that, we've been through those battles. You know what the real battle was for? And I thought about it as a pastor, because I watched how they portrayed the pastor, and they did a good job. He met with the lady, the mother, because she quit coming to church because of this. He told her, he said, we can't always pick our neighbors, but we are told we're supposed to love them. And basically he was telling her to come back and just love those people. Almost like this. This is kind of what he was saying. They're ignorant. You come back and let God minister to you. And sometimes God just has to deal with those ignorant people His way. And sometimes being in the house of the Lord, it's that way. Because even after the little girl was healed, they showed us the scene there, and one of them stood up and said, well, she probably wasn't as sick as y'all made her out to be. Maybe she wasn't really healed. Well, I'm going to tell you something. When God does something in my life, it's a miracle. Now, as I watched this movie, I want to tell you something. God's performed miracles at Hiram First Baptist Church. But in order for God to do those things, we got to have endurance. We can't quit because somebody gets mad and they won't talk to us. We can't quit because, and I've had people say this. People been invited to visit the church, you know, and somebody told me this story. They invited them to come and they sat out in the yard. Well, that preaching was a little strong. Folks, I don't pick them. I didn't write it. I just tell you what it says. And I don't really, I'm going to tell you the honest truth. I seek God for Him to give me exactly what He wants. It ain't mine. The ministry's not mine. The word's not mine. Here's what I want you to understand. Don't get discouraged. You will, I know you will, but don't quit. See, we look for faithfulness in leadership. It's convicted, it's committed, it's consistent. And it must have endurance that will not quit on a whim. You can't put somebody over a Sunday school class or a ministry or of a work that the first time somebody disagrees with them, they just gonna quit. Can't. There's a verse. I don't like this verse. Y'all know there's verses in the Bible I don't like. Says in the book of Psalms, and I can look it up for you on my little iPad if you'd like to know exactly where it's at, but it says, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I try to act like I'm never offended. I'm getting better. But aren't we sometimes? Okay, got to have endurance. And sometimes I've had this conversation, you know, with my wife. We've been in church our whole lives. We've been in ministry teaching or something. And this is just true, okay? Remember that everything you do in the house of the Lord, you do it for the Lord, okay? And one thing I've learned this before I came here, but I come to Hiram First Baptist Church, and I met all kind of people that I didn't really know before. But you know, there's a verse that says, His Spirit, big S, bears witness with our spirit, little s, that we are the children of God. How many of you have ever been away somewhere? And a good example of this is Dollywood, okay? You go to Dollywood, it's not like going to Disneyland. I mean, you go to Dollywood, you're going to find all kind of Christians you can talk to, people you can talk to about the Lord. You run in. And we was up there, and I run into Christians, we was talking about the Lord, and I thought, well, it's just like I've known these people my whole life. I just met them. Family. But you can't put your eyes on that. You have to remember that what you do, you're doing for God. And this is what Kendra and I've talked about in ministry. When you are through with being used, you are through with ministry. That's not just a pastor, folks. That could be a Sunday school teacher. That could be somebody fixing the meal. That could be somebody handing out a basket. You do what you do for the Lord. We are His hands and His feet. And it's just a privilege that He gives us of being able to have the friendships that we have. Then the last one. Let's look at the next verse, the fourth verse and the fifth verse. It says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. If a man strive for masteries or victories, yet he is not crowned, except he plays by the rules or he strives lawfully." Now here's what God wants in a good church. He wants godliness. You know, we've gotten to the point, and this is where we have to be careful. Folks, I'm absolutely against legalism. But we also got to have holiness. The Bible says, "Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord." That's why the standard of the Word of God can be lifted up. And a banner can be held high without being legalistic. Because the banner, here's the point. Here's where people get legalistic. They turn it this way. It's me. It's what I think. If we preach the Word of God and you preach it in love, the Holy Spirit will put it where it needs to go. And I really try very, very much when I'm preaching to preach without opinion. Now, that's hard to do. It really is. Because anybody you call in, they're gonna preach and teach their convictions. But I try hard not to do that. But what about holiness? The Bible says, "Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord." What he's saying here in the fourth and the fifth verse. "No man that warreth entangle himself again with affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." I believe if God's called you, number one, you got to be saved. You got to be saved by the grace of God. Then if you're going to preach this gospel, you must be called. You don't choose to. Mama don't decide it. You don't do it because daddy did it. You got to be called. And I believe if you're those two things, the Holy Spirit is going to pull you in a direction. And I believe it is separated from worldliness. Now, here's something you find in your Bible, and you can look this scripture up, and it talks about it. Of course, everything I'm giving you is out of the King James Version. But it talks about in the Old Testament and the New Testament to come out from among the world and be a separated people. Peculiar. And zealous of good works. Now here's what godliness means. Separated from worldliness. Now we're not talking about perfection. We're not going to be there, right? We're not. But here's what it is. A pattern. What's a pattern? Consistent. Practices what he preaches. Even Paul recognized this. And I want to flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9 and read you just a couple of verses that he wrote. He talked about this even in his own life. Now remember who he was. Remember how he was educated. Remember how he was a Jew. He was educated and schooled in such a fashion. Remember how he persecuted the church and he did it zealously. And then on the road to Damascus, Jesus spoke to him. And he counted all those things but loss for the cause of Christ. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He understood the grace of God. He wrote about the grace of God. He considered himself the chief of sinners. But even still, it's just like, and I hear, and I appreciate people say this in this church. Pray for our pastor. That the devil won't get to him. Now, I've said this before, and I'll say this to you as a Christian. If you're doing anything for God, you walk around with this. The bullseye on you, okay? The world's shooting at you. The devil's shooting at you. He wants to stop you. But remember who you belong to. And here's the thing. If you fail, don't quit. No. Right here. No. Right here. I had somebody say to me this morning, they say, "Every time I come in this church, I feel like I need to go to that altar." I said, "Well, go." That's why it's there. And I said this about my own relationship with God. Folks, I got saved when I was 12. But when I become a teenager, about 17, 18 years old, I couldn't go into church without going to the altar. Because God had put a call on my life that was wearing me out. I was fighting with all the things that teenage boys fight with, but God wouldn't let me do those things. And I would have to be right here seeking God, and I found myself, the only place I was happy was in church. And when I finally surrendered, and people come up to me, they say, "You gonna preach?" I said, "What?" They said, "We see it on you." It's like, you know, we used to have these testimony services. Y'all remember a lot of them? You get up and testify, and 5 or 10 minutes later, people say, "He's going to be a preacher." Well, I didn't know it. Well, here you got Paul, who God's done all these things in his life. But he understood when they said, "Pray for him. Put a hedge around him." And I think the key for any of us, because I have this conversation with grown men all the time, not with ladies, but with men. Now, you ladies might talk about this yourselves. But I can't tell you how many conversations I've had with grown men about their temper. We all got one. Y'all might not believe it, but I got one. And what I read in this scripture is Paul knew about himself. I have to watch. Here's the key. You got to know about yourself. Listen to what he says. He says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all?" This is 1 Corinthians 9:24. "But one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway." In other words, he says, "I know about me." You see, if we're going to have a church that pleases God, and we look at just this scripture, just these few verses in 2 Timothy chapter 2, it's going to be strong in grace. In other words, when people come in here, when you see a lost person, here's what you ought to see. Somebody that Jesus died for. Right. "And there go I, but for the grace of God." What did he say? "Such were some of you, but you're washed. You're sanctified. Glorified. Strong in grace. Faithfulness in leadership. Endurance. Be faithful. Trust God. Don't get discouraged. And then godliness." You know, because of the convictions that I have, I wouldn't want to go to a church where I knew that the leadership and the people in the church were just live just any old way. I'd want to be around a leader that could be respected. Yes. Isn't that something that we long for? Yes. That's something as Christians we have longed for in this country. Now, folks, I know we're not exactly where we'd like to be, but we got a lot of things we can praise God for, and we got some things that we can pray about. Amen. Because I do believe in the power of God. I've seen God move, and God's moving in this church. People getting saved in this church. And what we have to do, we have to continue to come together. Just as some of the scripture we've read is implied, keep it about Him. Keep our focus on Him, our mind on the Lord. Lift Him up, hold up the banner and the standard, and help everybody we can get to where Jesus is at. And do it for the honor and glory for the Lord. And kind of like I heard a preacher say one time, he says, no telling what you can do for God when you don't care who gets the credit. I've had a few people come up to me and they want to make sure. You know that was my idea. I just smile. Anybody got anything you'd like to say for the Lord? Anything you'd like to say for the church?